Blog Talk Radio.
Get ready. You're listening to Professionally Botched Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Professionally Botched Wrestling. I am your host, Michael Moore, and I'm going to be running this thing. Hopefully you might have been able to listen to the sneak peek episode that I put out a couple days ago regarding what we're going to do here on Professionally Botched Wrestling. We're going to be talking about all the things that have happened, hopefully this week in wrestling. Professional wrestling, that is. We don't do that real shit. We're going to be talking about Backlash and NXT TakeOver and Monday Night Raw, SmackDown. Unfortunately, I ran out of time this week to try to get caught up on NXT. I'm not super familiar with it, so maybe next week we'll get caught up on that, and I'll be a little more familiar, and I'll be able to talk on that a little better. I have a friend, Steve Gaines. He was nice enough to do some updates for me for New Japan Wrestling, which I am not familiar with, and thank the Lord for him, because I don't think I could have pronounced some of those names. And he also was kind enough to do an update for me for Ring of Honor, which I'm not completely up to date on right now, so he can definitely fill us in on that. And Impact Wrestling, I watched about half of it this week, so we'll be able to talk about half of that show, and we'll just leave the rest of it up to the ether for next week, and we'll get it figured out. But I want to go ahead, and we're going to move into our gorilla position, and we're going to get some of this stuff started. So guys, listen, I'm a huge wrestling fan. I've watched wrestling pretty much my entire life. And I may not be completely fluent with everything, but I do enjoy it. I do know primarily what's going on with the larger name companies. Impact, we've already discussed that. I'm not completely up to date on Impact, but I will be. I'll get on it. But with WWE and just what's going on there, I am pretty familiar with everything. Again, NXT, I will be. We're also going to be talking about, I didn't talk about this earlier, I want to throw in some of the rumors that are going on in the wrestling world and what's happening. This episode is going to be really jam-packed. I've got a lot of stuff going on. So with the two pay-per-views that happened this past weekend, so I don't have a ton of rumors that I'm going to go with. This week, I'm just going to talk about what is happening today, what has been brought up today, and we'll talk about those. And with that being said, because I don't have a ton to throw into this particular segment, please bear with me. We're a work in progress. We're going to move into the dirt sheet right now. So the dirt sheet is going to be my little segment here to where we talk about the rumors of the day and what's happening over the past week, which, like I say, we've got a jam-packed episode this week, this first inaugural episode of PBW. And so the things that are happening right now, I want to first give credit to Cage Side Seats. They're the ones that I'm grabbing my news from this week. They always do an amazing job. They have some of the best news happening out there with professional wrestling. It's easy to read. It's easy to keep up with. And they've got the most interesting stuff happening. So what they have this week, or today, really, rumors for today, are we're going to see a lot more of the multi-person matches with WWE right now, because apparently the booking is slow, according to The Observer. But bear with us. The things are going to start heating up in July and August, so it won't just be those multi-person matches once they can get things under control. Next, with the WWE, they've already started making changes with their big SmackDown Live show that they have planned in New Orleans for June 13th. Cage Side Seats is saying, that could simply mean holding off on the Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton title match that was previously announced, and working it as a dark match, which would be kind of interesting, and I feel like a bit of a waste, but there's that. The Observer also notes that while the women's Money in the Bank ladder match is currently planned, it's not set in stone, so it could very well be nixed, like last year was, where they decided to cut that match and it never happened. Let's see. I'm not completely familiar with this name, so I'm not sure what organization they're with, but apparently Hideo Itami is turning heel in the hopes of refreshing his character. So if that means something to you, fabulous. Doesn't necessarily mean anything to me. So there you go. Finally, for this week's dirt sheet, Lita is one name that's going around to call the women's tournament with Jim Ross, which I think would be great. I like Lita. I think that she's good on the microphone, calling these matches and talking and stuff. I think she's gotten a little bit better since her retirement, but that I guess it's just all a matter of opinion, and that's my opinion. She's doing all right now. She's doing better than when she was an actual wrestler, so there you go. But since there was a lot going on in wrestling this week, I want to go ahead and I want to jump into the main event stuff here, and we're gonna move into the lockup. Don't worry, I'll get my words right eventually. So let's do the lockup. So guys, starting with, I'm going to go in order from what's happened in the week. So we're starting way back in Saturday, and that was an NXT TakeOver Chicago. And the first match that happened, what I'm going to end up doing here is I want to talk about with the pay-per-views, it's all primarily match stuff. With the shows, we're going to talk about what happened in the show, what's happening with the storylines and all that kind of stuff. The pay-per-views are primarily matches. That's just how it's always been. There's not a whole lot of storyline happening there if it's outside of the match. So what we're going to do here is we're going to start talking about the matches for NXT TakeOver Chicago. And the first match was Eric Young with Sanity versus Roderick Strong. And I would just like to say, I think that Eric Young and Sanity, that group, that faction, that stable, I think is awesome. I was always a fan of Eric Young in Impact Wrestling. I'm glad to see that he's made it into the NXT and the WWE. I think that Sanity is the stable that the Wyatt family wished they were. I think that the Wyatt family was a real waste, honestly. The whole thing just didn't jive for me. But this whole Sanity group is perfect. I love it so much. And like the craziness comes across right. I love that they have the lady Nikki Cross with them. I think she's a great, I wanted to say great character, which is technically true, but she's got a really great persona that she's put on. But anyways, so the start of the match, Roderick Strong got a sneak attack on Sanity to try to even up the odds. And this too, I took note of this, that I think that Eric Young is in the best physical condition that I've ever seen him in. So I don't know if he's stepped up his game to be in the WWE, or if the WWE might have laid down some rules like, hey, you need to get some stuff together here. But I think that he looks great. He looks and he wrestles great. So I was really happy about that. Anyways, enough about that. Just that was a little side thing. Let's see. I've already talked about Nikki Cross a little bit. There was a big turn in the match when Roderick Strong hits Young in the face with a knee, knocks him off the top turnbuckle, and onto Sanity. So they're all outside of the ropes. Eric comes back into the ring, gets another high knee from Roderick. There was a duplex released into a backbreaker, and Roderick Strong wins. So that happened. Match over. Let's see. We have the second match was Pete Dunne. Oh, this was the United Kingdom situation. Pete Dunne, who is the Bruiserweight, which I thought was real silly, versus Tyler Bate, who was the WWE United Kingdom champion. And this match was commentated with special commentator Jim Ross, which I'm glad to see him back in the company. I believe there was a little bit of stuff going on between him and WWE, but he is back with the company, so I'm happy to see that. But what I can say was I wasn't exactly thrilled with his calling on this match. I don't know if he's just kind of like over it, and he just wasn't wanting to call all that much, or I don't know if there's a health situation going on, but he had to fulfill his duties to come in and be a commentator. But I mean, I'm just happy to see him around. I think he's the best commentator that there has been in at least a very long time. So anywho, we're going to get right into the match. I take that back really quick. I am not entirely sure why the Bruiserweight Pete Dunne is wearing a goddamn mouth guard when his teeth are already so fucked. But it's real weird because he does the weird grin thing with that mouth guard in, and it's black and it's kind of sparkly, and it makes me want to throw up in my mouth a little, to be completely honest. I think it's real weird, but whatever, just an observation. I think it is important to note that Tyler Bate, who I think is an excellent wrestler, I'm going to go ahead and say this now. I think this match was the match of the pay-per-view. I think it was the best match. The guys did the most exciting things. And Tyler Bate is only 20 years old, and he was the champion. I keep saying was because, spoiler alert, Dunne does win. But Tyler is a great wrestler. I think he has huge potential. He was exciting to watch. And again, he's only 20 years old, so he's got, unless something tragic should happen, he's got a huge career ahead of him. So congratulations to him. But a few things that had happened in the match. There was a headstand escape from the leg scissors with Tyler. He was in that leg scissors. He did a headstand to escape, which, I mean, they're cool moves to see, and it's exciting to see, but the shit's just not practical. So he goes and he does his fancy headstand while the Bruiserweight just stares at him and waits for him to do what he was going to do. And then it ended up and it just looked like Dunne let him go. It was just kind of weird, but like I say, it's exciting to see. There was one situation just after that where outside the ring, Dunne gets Tyler Bate, and he does this release suplex on the ring apron, and the shit was like textbook. Like, it couldn't have looked better. Granted, I don't know how it felt, but it looked great. So I wanted to point that out. I feel like it was mentioned that it was called the X-Plex. So there's that. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but there you go. We'll keep that in mind for the future. But a little bit later on in that match, there was lots of kicking and flipping, which I thought was kind of funny, but who knows, whatever. There, I guess, I'm not sure I caught the entire name of it. I think it, they said it was a 450 splash that was hit. I have here that there were, like, so many kickouts. Like, any of these moves, I'm seeing this, and I hear this a lot, like, on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast and stuff, that the wrestlers just aren't selling. And I completely agree with that. Any of these moves, that these high risk moves, these big moves that are hit within this match in particular, but really in any of the matches, they would put these wrestlers out. They would win. Like, but it just gets so insane that they just start hitting move after move after move, and there's kick out after kick out after kick out. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? You're going to hear this a little later on in my interview with my friend, Chris Anderson, but we talked about how, like, back in the day, like, Hulk Hogan would win with a leg drop, a fucking leg drop, or a suplex, or what, you know, just something simple. But now there are all of these super extravagant moves that are hit, but the opponent still kicks out, and it's kind of insane to me. But like Stone Cold says, they're just not selling. They need to sell a lot more. That'll make the match a little more exciting. Like, if they're going to just keep kicking out of these, they can't just pop back up. There was a I'll have to see if I can find the link to the clip and put it in the description later. But there was a match that I just saw on Facebook the other day. Somebody shared it, where it was two lady wrestlers, and I believe that they were over in Japan. And the suplexes that were happening in this clip were insane. They were up on the top rope. The one girl suplexes the other girl off the top rope onto the canvas. She then rolls her over and gets her back into another suplex, flips her over again, gets her back into another suplex, hits that one too, and then goes to pin her, and the girl kicks out. I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, where's the selling? Like, it almost looked like the girl that hit all the moves was injured more than the girl taking it. And it was just insane. I just couldn't believe it. But, like, that just goes along with just the whole no selling anymore. It's just crazy. But anyways, Dunn ends up winning the belt, which I thought was kind of weird that he was, like, biting the belt at the end of the match. And it was just kind of gross. Why? That's unnecessary. But the third match ended up being the women's match. Ruby Riott versus Nikki Cross versus Asuka, who is the NXT Women's Champion. I think I'm saying that right. Asuka? What? You know what I'm saying. The champ. So it's sad that I didn't get to see Ember Moon, that she's got a shoulder injury. So she wasn't in this. It was supposed to be a four-way, but it ended up just being a three-way. These women are crazy talented. And it just blows my mind. I love it so much to see the talent that the ladies are now producing, whereas it used to be, you know, the divas and all that shit, where it was, oh, I'm pretty, I can throw a kick occasionally, but look at me, I'm pretty. That gets you only so far. But now these female wrestlers are just some of them are wrestling better than the men. And I love that there's this women's revolution, to where the stuff they're getting their due, they're getting more time, they're getting main event spots, they're just doing all this stuff, and it's amazing. So with that being said, I was sad to see Ember Moon wasn't in the match. I honestly think that she's better than Naomi, and I kind of wish that they were flip-flopped, they had each other's spots, because I'd like to see more of the Ember Moon on the main stages. But anyways, like I say, they're stupid talented, and I'm happy that they're getting their due, right? That, yeah, sure. When you're talking to yourself, you can't get corrected, so whatever. In this match, there was a situation where one of the girls went to slide out of the ring, I think. I didn't added into my notes, which I should have, but the ring apron was pulled away. She was dropped into it. And I think Nikki Cross was just beating the hell out of her. I know who it was. It was Asuka went to slide out of the ring, or she got pulled out of the ring and then into the ring apron. She was trapped in the ring apron and beat the hell out of by Nikki Cross, which I don't think there's enough of that happening. It used to happen occasionally. I forget which wrestler would do it. And it kind of died off. And now we've got Nikki Cross pulling that move. So I thought that was fun. The referee was orange. I don't know why he was so damned orange. He looked like an Oompa Loompa that put on a ref shirt. But hey, whatever. Finally, Asuka pins both women and retains her championship. I honestly didn't take too many notes on this match because I was busy watching it. I was so enthralled by what they were doing and how things were going that I just didn't take all that many notes. So we're just going to leave it at that. now I feel like a real dick because I'm seeing that the fourth match was Hideo Itami and Bobby Roode. And that Tommy dude is who we were talking about in the dirt sheet. And I was like, oh, I hope that name means something to you. Now that I see his name again, it sure as shit means something to me. So he's the one that's trying to revamp his character, which I feel bad for him because he came into the NXT, he got injured and put on the shelf for a little bit. And then... I can't remember. Did he get injured again and put back out? And so he's been out for like a year and a half, and now he's got to restart all over again. I've been there. I do stand-up comedy, and I was out for a while, had to build myself back up again, and now I've kind of been out a little bit again, so I'll have to play that game all over again, but whatever. Anyways, the fourth match with Bobby Roode. Fucking love Bobby Roode. I'm so excited to see him in NXT. I can't wait until he gets called up to the main roster with SmackDown or Raw. I think his character is awesome, glorious. That's amazing. It kind of plays off of his character from Impact, which is fine. I liked it there too. But just I love the dude. I love the attitude. In this match, I did say I guess I need to watch it back again. I'm not sure how accurate this is, but I said that the Hideo dude reminds me of an Asian Finn Balor. I'm a huge fan of Finn Balor, and I thought just kind of his style and stuff kind of fit that. But anyways, there wasn't a ton in this match that I thought was too extraordinary, unfortunately. There were a ton of kicks. Again, there's so many kicks. I can say that one of the things that distracted me was that Bobby Roode ended up getting a snot rocket stuck in his mustache, and I just couldn't focus on anything else. And the referee could have been nice enough to give him a little bit of a tip, like, hey, just swipe your hand through it right quick and get that taken care of. But nope, it was just like the AJ Styles with the hole in his tights, in his ass. You just can't see anything else. So anyways, I thought that was funny. Added that to my notes, so you're welcome. I noticed too that Hideo Itami is using the go to sleep, which if you remember, that was a CM Punk situation. So he's using that now. Bobby Roode hits with a double DDT, two of them bad boys, and he ends up winning and retaining his championship. So there you go. The fifth and final match was which I was kind of surprised that they put the championship match at the end of the show. But after I watched it and the shit that happens after the match, you're not surprised because, you know, shit got crazy. So anyways, the fifth match is the Authors of Pain. They're the NXT Tag Team Champions, and they were defending against DIY. It was a tag ladder match, which I thought was exciting. It was kind of interesting to see the Authors of Pain. They're big dudes. Big. I don't want to say that they're awkward because they pull off some really sweet shit, but trying to see them on the ladder and stuff was almost entertaining. It was kind of like a bear riding a tricycle in the circus. It was just kind of awkward, but they were getting it done, and the DIY hit some pretty cool stuff. They had one of the biggest ladders I've ever seen outside of the ring, and they had a couple of ladders stretched across from the ring to the barrier, the safety barrier, whatever, on each side. And the Authors of Pain had to lay on those fucking ladders forever. That's, again, like, just kind of the obvious thing to where they could have rolled off those ladders whenever they wanted to, because it took forever for DIY to get to the top of that ladder to finally jump down on them. But when they did, it was exciting, but at the same time, terrifying, because they both kind of flipped over, both Ciampa and Gargano. They both flipped over the guys, and I swear it looked like both of them landed on their damn necks. It was crazy. I can't believe some of the shit that they pull off, and they're able to walk away from it. But anywho, I even wrote, holy shit, exclamation point. It looked like they landed on their damn necks. So anyways, Paul Elring fella, I know he's been around for a little while, back and forth. He's in the company before, I believe. He ended up interfering in the match, and he gets a nice little super kick to the face, and he's put out, so he's done. Gargano ends up saving Ciampa, but the ladder ends up smacking him in the chin. It was kind of positioned under his chin, and it was a teeter-totter situation to where the one end went down and the other end went up into his chin. I was like, well, there, he's fucking knocked out again. Like, these guys are just crazy with the shit that they're... It was an accident, but it's like, how do you walk away from that? Ciampa ends up putting Rezar through a ladder. Like, the ladder was in the corner, and that big motherfucker went through that ladder and snapped the son of a bitch in half. Like, granted, it was a wood ladder, so it wasn't like, oh, yeah, you snapped a metal ladder in half. But still, like, that was just insane to see. So that was pretty cool. There were just some really long setups regarding the ladder and stuff, but whatever. They ended with a Super Collider powerbomb with the Authors of Pain, and they retained their championship. But that's not the exciting part. What ended up going down afterwards was kind of nuts. So Ciampa beat the fuck out of Gargano. So DIY is no more. But not only did he just beat the shit out of him, he ended up putting him through a table off the top of the announcer table. So Gargano, I feel like, is going to be out for at least a little bit, because his buddy ended up screwing him. So there you go. That was the end of Takedown. Chicago style. So we're going to move on quickly to Backlash and what happened with Backlash. First match, we had Aiden English versus Ty Dillinger. Why Aiden English? Why are you still around? Your little buddy got fired. He's gone. I don't understand all the singing. He's not the only one. There's the Wandering Dude he's on Raw, the dude with the guitar and shit. I've got notes on that later, but why with all the singing characters? I don't get it. But anyways, the Aiden English, Ty Dillinger match happened pretty quick. Aiden English loses. The tiebreaker does it in. And not only is Aiden English a singer, he's a crybaby. All he does is cry, and it's getting kind of ridiculous. I don't understand. Second match, Dolph Ziggler versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke? It's the dude that's on SmackDown now. He was a big deal in NXT. Not gonna lie, I don't get it. He annoys me. The dramatics and stuff, it's too much for me. I just can't deal. His weird mouth guard that looks like he has no teeth, but he's nothing but gums. Now you won't be able to unsee that. That bothers me too. Dolph hit this dude with all of his best moves. Like, any of the moves that he got him with, would have put him out, but of course not. He kicks out of everything. And then Nakamura hit Dolph with one move, and guess what? Dolph is done. Nakamura wins. It was just kind of ridiculous, and I'm over it. I'm already over it. Third match, Breezango and the Usos for the tag championship. Oh, boy. I'm not entirely sure what it is that what exactly is Breezango supposed to be? I get it. They're fashion police. Okay, whatever. But are they supposed to be setting them up as gay characters? Which is fine. I don't care. But it's just the whole thing is becoming kind of bizarro to me. So there's that. But I can say that this kind of harkens back to older WWE with the characters and stuff. And I love it. I love that they're playing these detectives or whatever. I think it's kind of funny. Especially with, which one, Tyler Breeze, he, was changing characters. He was wearing different outfits or whatever. Did that happen? Now I'm confusing myself. That might've happened during SmackDown. Whatever. Doesn't matter. It's still great. I think it's funny. No, I was right. This is why I need somebody to bounce this shit off of. So Tyler later on is an old lady, comes into the match as an old lady, and he's wearing a dress and whatnot. And I thought that was pretty funny. Anyways, Usos end up winning and retain the championships. So there you go. Fourth match, Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin. I really like the Baron Corbin dude. I like his character. I like some of his moves. When he slides out of the ring and he runs around the turnbuckle and then he gets back into the ring and like clotheslines the dude. Love it. Get on it. I'm afraid that Sami Zayn is going to become more of a Dolph Ziggler character. I really like Dolph Ziggler. Reminds me a lot of Shawn Michaels, which was and is still my favorite wrestler of all time. He was trained by Shawn, I believe. So it's not surprising that he reminds me of him. But back to Sami, I'm afraid that he's going to fall into the same spot that Dolph is in, and he's just going to kind of be a mid-carder forever and just kind of keep getting screwed, which is ridiculous. But I can say that Sami hits his Hallelujah kick, and Sami wins this match against Baron Corbin. So there was that. The fifth match then was the ladies' match, Carmella, Tamina, and Natalya versus Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Naomi. I'm kind of half and half with these ladies. There are some that I like that I'm happy with, and then there are others that I'm not so happy with, or I could kind of care less. The ladies that I do care for are Becky Lynch. I think she's an amazing wrestler. She's super exciting to watch. I think that Carmella has some talent that's not being completely utilized at this point. For some reason, now she's been she's been shipped with James Ellsworth, who's a total douche. His character was fine originally when he was kind of messing with Daniel Bryan, I think, maybe at the beginning, or it doesn't matter. His character, it was Dean Ambrose, god damn it. So that was fine. It was kind of fun there, but now that he's with Carmella, he's just a big douche, and who cares? He just kind of gets in the way. But anyway, so I think Carmella could be better. I wish that Natalya got more of a chance. I like kind of that she's taken on this whole welcoming committee thing and leading a group of girls, women. I think that she's doing okay. Charlotte is okay. I can't get past her weird no waist. She doesn't have a waist, and her outfit doesn't help that. So it's just one of those things. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Naomi, I'm not a fan of Naomi. I said this earlier. I wish that Ember Moon was in Naomi's spot, but whatever. I like the glow thing. It's kind of cool, the whole glow thing in the dark and blah, blah, blah. But it highlights her dancing, which she, I don't feel like she's a very good dancer. So with that being the case, the glowing and all that just kind of highlights the crap that she really can't do. So I'm not thrilled with that. I think that things could be better or whatever. And then finally, Tamina is back. I'm glad to see that Tamina is back. I feel like she was way underutilized when she was in the company previously before. I don't know. I think she might have had to take some time off because Jimmy Snuka, her father, had passed away. So I'm glad to see that she's back and maybe get some more spotlight. But anyways, the match happens. I didn't take a ton of notes on this because, again, I'm just one thrilled with it. Becky goes for the disarmer and chaos ensues. And then Natalya ends up making Becky tap with the figure four. So there's that, the sharpshooter, I'm sorry. And the welcoming committee wins. Sixth match on this pay-per-view is AJ Styles and Kevin Owens, two of the superstars that I'm most excited to see in the WWE. I'm huge fans of both of these guys. And I'm glad to see that they finally made it over here to a company really worth their grain of salt, right? That's an old-timey term, so you're welcome. So I'm glad to see that they're here. They're fighting against each other again. Long story short, some stuff happens. KO wins and retains his U.S. title. I can say that the ending of that was kind of unexpected. AJ Styles gets counted out because his foot gets caught in the announcer table. So didn't see that coming. Thought he was going to make it into the ring at the last second. Did not happen. So KO wins and retains the title. Seventh match, Luke Harper versus Eric Rowan. I'm not going to waste too much time on this. I don't understand why the hell that they're doing this. Both characters suck. They have zero potential from the way that they were set up originally with the Wyatt family. I think the Wyatt family wasn't great. The only way that they were good was with Bray Wyatt, and now that they're all separated, I don't give two shits, and I can't believe that they got a match on the pay-per-view. So moving on, eighth match, Jinder Mahal versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. As a little note, I can't believe how small the Singh brothers are next to Jinder Mahal. They're like little people. He could just pick them up and put them in his pocket and keep them forevermore. But, again, unsee that now. I did look up. I wasn't really sure what it was supposed to mean, but he keeps calling himself the Maharaja. And I was like, okay, what the hell is that supposed to mean? So, just for your learning pleasures, Maharaja means prince. So, he's the modern day prince. So, there you go. You are welcome. Jinder gets whooped up on the entire match. There was an RKO out of nowhere. And then, of course, the Singh brothers get involved and pull Jinder out of the ring. And because of the Singh brothers, Jinder Mahal wins and steals the championship from Mr. Randy Orton. So, boo. Okay. On to what I did watch. Monday Night Raw. I'm over Bray Wyatt. I don't care for the character. I think he has promise, but at this point, I think that it's weak. So there's that. I love it when he gets on the mic. I think that his mic skills are almost like you can't compare them. He's super, super fun to listen to. He comes up with some of the craziest shit. So that's exciting. Anyways, the matches and stuff, I'm kind of over. I never understood the hate for Roman Reigns. I'm a fan. It's been happening not long after the Shield broke up. If anybody can tell me what has happened to where they don't care for his character, I'd love to know. I think that he's got a great character, and people just hate him to be hating him. Haters gonna hate, right? I'm thrilled that Kurt Angle is back in the WWE, although he looks broken. I know that I was listening to Chris Jericho's podcast, and he had brought up that I think that's who it was that brought up that Kurt Angle wants to make sure that he's able to wrestle in the WWE. I don't know. I was at Monday Night Raw when it was in Columbus, Ohio, and Kurt Angle came out to the ring, and just watching him get to the ring just felt painful to me. His legs are constantly in a bent state, so I don't know that he can actually completely straighten his legs. He just looks really broken, and it's kind of sad. I'm a big fan of Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins, obviously. A lot of people just aren't fans of both, and I am. I think they both have great characters, and they both have huge potential. Glad to see Samoa Joe is here in the WWE. Loved his character in Impact Wrestling, so I just think it's bigger and better here. Let's see. But Kurt Angle is having a hard time remembering his lines, so that gets kind of awkward backstage when they're doing the little video clips and stuff. So that gets weird. I put, who the fuck is this wandering guitar player and why? Guess his name is Alias Samson. And why are there so many singing characters? I brought that up earlier. I don't know. And it could stop at any time. Brian Kendrick can go away. I really like the cruiserweights, but he just annoys the shit out of me. So there you go. I feel like Booker T is painful to listen to while commentating. He stumbles over. I stumble over my words a lot too, but he's had a lot more experience with it, and it just kind of gets real messy and hard to listen to. Why is Alicia Fox still around? I see her as a valet or a manager, but I don't much see her as a wrestling character. I don't see her doing too much in the ring. She has a couple of cool moves occasionally, but that gets kind of annoying and old real fast. The Miz, I wish that The Miz, he's a good wrestler and stuff. He had he was hugely popular in the past. Things have changed. He's not so much now. He's got his wife with him, Maryse. She's annoying. And I hate that he hides behind her, you know, like a bitch. That's constantly his thing now. She gets in the way. Somebody needs to come out with another female wrestler that can knock the fuck out of her. There was the whole John Cena, Nikki Bella thing to where they were kind of doing that. And it never really paid off to me. It just kind of built up to their engagement. And that wasn't really worth it. So Paul Heyman came out, is a great mouthpiece. He and Finn Balor exchanged words. I don't think that Brock Lesnar should have the title, period. He's a ridiculous part-timer. When have we seen him since he's won the title? We haven't. And I think that's ridiculous for the guys that are just working their asses off day in and day out. And then there's this dickhead that's got the title and he's just fucking sitting around on his ass elsewhere, not defending it. And I think it's ridiculous. I mean, he doesn't even show up to mumble a couple words like Frankenstein's monster and then lumber away to the back. Like, just why? Why are we doing this? Just get over it. I thought that it was funny that Michael Cole had told Booker T that Alicia Fox had the best scissor kick in the business, seeing as that was Booker T's finisher. And he straight told him that to his face. So I thought that was funny. I don't know why Kalisto isn't in 205 Live yet. I don't know why he's still in Raw. He should be with the Cruiserweights, and I think that he would excel there. I really like Apollo Crews and the Titus brand. I think that could be expanded and be a pretty cool stable. I like that it looks like we're going to see the old Gold Dust. I miss the old Gold Dust and the way that he would do his, what was it, the 24-karat productions or something like that. But it was just cool with the director's chair and the different stuff, and he always pulled cool promos, so that was fun. So I'm hoping that that's the case, because the Golden Truth thing, that kind of fell flat for me. And again, that was another turn that Gold Dust turned on R-Truth, so that happened. Alexa Bliss and Bayley happened. A huge fan of Alexa Bliss. I'm a fan of Bayley too, but Alexa Bliss is from Columbus, and that's where I'm at. So love her. Thank you very much. Let's see. I feel like the Hardy Boys are coasting on their previous popularity, that they're not doing anything special in the WWE now. They've got the titles, and they're just kind of like, oh, yep, we'll go out and we'll wrestle a match, whatever. Like, there aren't any promos getting cut, no nothing. But to be fair, that could very well be that's because they're Delete and all that business. I'm not completely familiar with it from Impact Wrestling is still being held up and contested, so they can't use that gimmick in the WWE. So I think that's holding them back. So that is right sad. I really like the team of Sheamus and Cesaro. Their entrance is pretty awesome. There's not a whole lot left to say about that. I bring it up because they fought the Hardy Boys. Hardy Boys won. They got to choose the match for Extreme Rules, and they chose a steel cage match. So there you go. Austin Aries is pretty great. Glad to see that he is with WWE as well. I feel like pretty much the best wrestlers that were in Impact Wrestling have now moved to WWE, and I'm super stoked about that. Mickey James included, she's finally back in WWE. And I would love one of the last wrestlers, I think, from Impact Wrestling that I would like to see move into WWE is Magnus, which is Mickey James' husband. So I feel like he needs to get moved over, and my life would start to become complete. Anyways, we're moving into SmackDown Live this week. There are now 6 participants in the Money in the Bank ladder match. AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Kevin Owens. He got tossed in there at the end. I love that Shane McMahon is back and he's making decisions. That's pretty great. AJ Styles is one of the superstars. I kind of said this earlier, I believe, that I wanted to see come to the WWE the most, and I'm glad that he's here, and he's been completely over. I don't think that there's too much more that he could do. I feel like he's in a really great spot. I talked earlier, I like the female factions with the 3 ladies in each group, the welcoming committee, and then Becky Lynch's group. The fashion files with the fashion police. Again, I think that's funny. I like that harkens back to olden days with the characters and stuff, and not just here's my real name and this is what I'm going to wrestle under, and I hope you like it. Let's see. Not going to lie, I fell asleep during SmackDown, and I guess in my sleepy haze, I deleted it from my DVR, so I didn't get to finish it. So all I had... last thing, I guess. Well, there was Jinder Mahal's celebration. You know, it is what it is. He celebrated. Good for him. It happens a lot. But then there's been these promos for Lana. Lana is coming, and blah, blah, blah. They did this shit for Emma. And Emma's coming, and Emma's coming, and Emma's coming. And don't get me wrong, I love to look at both of them, but they built up all this shit with Emma. They introduced this new character, and it totally shit the bed. And so they moved her back to this angry, badass character, which is awesome. Sad that she's injured again, but I thought that was cool. But the thing is, they're doing that with Lana, and they keep saying, she's coming, she's coming, she's coming. And I hope she doesn't shit the bed, because they're doing this crap all over again. So there you go. That is my SmackDown Live opinions for what I saw when I wasn't asleep. I'll be honest, I took some notes on Impact, what I saw of Impact. There wasn't anything too extraordinary happening. The whole Jeremy Borash and what's his nuts, the other little dude, it doesn't matter, the little announcer. The Joseph Parks thing I think is dumb. I really liked, now I can't remember his name. when he was wearing the mask and he was the badass and he had his pallbearer, essentially his manager. Oh man. Anyways, I think that that character and that manager was awesome. And I'm sad to see that that's gone. I wish it would become back. Or even better, I wish it would move to the WWE and they could do something better with it. They could include Sanity, or they could maybe rebuild and do a better Wyatt family. That would be great. You know, that's not going to happen. There was like the Veterans of War wrestled on this episode of Impact against Fall Aba, who I think is a modern day Yokozuna, and Mario Baccara. Anyways, finish of the match, Veterans of War win, and there you go. Oh, Josh Matthews, that's the little bastard that's been running around with Jeremy Borash and doing this stupid business. And I bring that up because fucking Scott Steiner. Why? Why are we doing this to ourselves? Where did they drag his ass out from underneath? What rock did he crawl? Like, I cannot believe it. And what happened in this episode? He just walked around and chased people and barely tore apart some of the ring barriers and like ended up putting Joseph Parks in his Steiner recliner or whatever it's called. And it looked sad. So that hurts my heart. Why is he around? But finally, again, with the lady wrestlers, I think Impact's got it going on too. Rosemary looks cool. I love the character. Got this whole zombie kind of thing going on, and she spit some green mist into what is her name? I wrote it down. Sienna's face. And that was kind of cool. I want to bring this up because I noticed it. What's the deal with KM and Sienna? They're supposed to be cousins. Are they fucking? Is that the idea that he's a real dum-dum? And she's kind of that way too, but she's crazy. But the weird kind of relationship, I don't know. I just feel like they're doing the business behind everybody's back. I do want to say that I love the Congo Kong and Laura Van Ness characters, and that couple, fucking amazing. It harkens back again to the old timey characters, and her character is fucking amazing. Going crazy, got the lipstick smeared everywhere. The makeup is all messed up, and she's just screaming and going nuts. I fucking love it so much. So I hope they do more with that. And anyways, I think that's going to be it for Impact. Thankfully, I have friends that want to give me a little bit of help in this endeavor. And my friend Steve Gaines was able to send me an update for New Japan. So I'm going to let Steve Gaines, my buddy Steve Gaines, fill you in on what happened this week in New Japan.
Hey, all you wrestling fans. This is Mr. Entertainment Steve Gaines with your PBW New Japan Pro Wrestling update. It is exciting times for us fans here in America of New Japan as the G1 Special, the very first All New Japan event in the United States, the G1 Special in America, July 1st and 2nd at the Long Beach Convention Center, Long Beach, California, is coming up. The tickets for that event sold out in less than 2 hours. It's incredible, the buzz that's surrounding the show. Access TV is going to air night one of the G1 Special, and that'll be live on July 1st. July 2nd, you can watch through the New Japan World website, but it does require a subscription. They had a press conference this week. Kenny Omega spoke at the press conference, and he says he will win the world title by beating Okada at the G1 Special. He says Okada's doing the same thing over and over and over again in this matches, and he's getting fat and out of shape. And at the same time, Kenny Omega feels like he just keeps getting bigger and stronger. He went on to say that the Elite are the foremost international superstars and will carry the American wrestlers the same way they've carried the Japanese stars over the past years. So, humble as always from Kenny Omega. The Young Bucks, They were happy to take full credit for themselves and the rest of the Bullet Club, but especially the Elite, for being the reason the tickets sold so well for the G1 special. They'll be wrestling to become a record six-time IWGP Junior Tag Team Champions versus Punky Vice. Can they become the Ring of Honor and the IWGP Junior Tag Team Champions and, of course, the Superkick Tag Champions all at the same time? If so, they're going to have more gold than the Illuminati. So Cody Rhodes also was on hand. He says he's excited to make his mark at G1. He's going to be wrestling Michael Elgin. And he had plenty to say. I mean, he was extremely confident. He thinks his skill and speed will be too much for the, quote, 4-foot-tall strongman, unquote. That being said, you know, we all know that the Unbreakable One can flat out go when that bell rings, and it should be a top quality match. Five titles total will be on the line at the G1 special, the World Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, the Tag Team, the Heavyweight Tag Team Championships, and the Junior Tag Team titles will be on the line, as well as the first time the inaugural IWGP United States Championship will be crowned in a G1 tournament. And guys like Jay Lethal and Hangman Page from Ring of Honor will be in there, as well as top stars from America, Japan, and Mexico. A lot of the other stars that you'll be wanting to see are going to be out there. Jushin Thunder Liger, David Finlay, Juice Robinson, Michael Elgin, of course, as we said, the ace, Hiroshi Tanahashi is going to be there. Tanaka, the 10-4 boys will be there. You're going to have Jay White, Billy Gunn, Yoshitatsu, Chaos will be on hand, Will Ospreay, Tihiro Ishii, as well as IWGP's junior champion Hiro Nakahashi will be there. Six-man champions, you know, Evil Sonata, Bushi will all be on hand, as well as guys like Jack Sabre Jr., Rowan Hansen, the IWGP heavyweight tag champions. Briscoe Brothers, them boys will be there. As we said, Jay Lethal, and then from the CMLL wrestlers, Titan, Baltimore Jr., and Dragon Lee will be there. This will actually be the first event ever where the entire Bullet Club, every single member in both the factions in the United States and New Japan, will be on American soil in the same event at the same time. So we're looking forward to that. So this has been a huge event, and really look forward to this. So that's pretty much our update for this week for New Japan Wrestling. So all you fans out there, thanks for tuning in. Back to you, Michael.
And thank you very much, Steve. I appreciate you saying all those difficult names, like Billy Gunn, I believe is how you pronounce that. So there you go. Thank you for that. But we're going to jump right back into it. And I want Steve to go ahead and fill us in on what we missed in Ring of Honor this week.
Hey, wrestling fans, it is Mr. Entertainment Steve Gaines back for this week's Ring of Honor update for the week of 5/27/2017 PBW. War of the Worlds was an incredible set of events earlier this month, and it's going to shape the near future of the company in many ways. But it was such a hit that Ring of Honor has announced the first ever War of the Worlds UK tour this August. So that's gone very well for them. War of the Worlds in New York City was a huge star-studded event for them. Dalton Castle's star continued to rise as he won a four-corner survival match against Silas Young, Kushida, and Bobby Fish, who he pinned for the clean victory after hitting the Bangarang, and his star continues to just go straight up. Hangman Page stole a win over his arch-nemesis Frankie Kazarian. War Machines, the IWGP Tag Team Champions, beat Search and Destroy, and Los Ignobernables, Digipon, and Will Ospreay defeated Jay White, which was easily the match of the night. They got a standing ovation when they were done, just a high-flying, fast, everything you would expect out of both of those athletes. It was fantastic. The six-man titles stayed in the hands of the Briscoes and Bully Ray as they defeated both Chaos and with Haruki Gato. So a couple of good bumps there. Bully Ray powerbombed Chaos's Bredo through a table from the middle rope, 3D to Ramiro sealed the deal for them. The villain Marty Scurll defended the Ring of Honor television title with a tap-out victory over Matt Sydal, which was a decent match. And the Young Bucks, they retained their Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships against IWGP Intercontinental Champion Tetsuya Naito and Bushi after... had a funny spot where Matt Jackson got sprayed with the green mist by Bushi and accidentally super kicked both his brother and the referee, but they would rally and get the victory, and it was two sweets all around. Adam Cole and Hiroshi Tanahashi, I know this was a dream match for a lot of us, two of the most decorated champions of all time in both of the respected companies, and you know, it didn't disappoint. It was a good match. Adam Cole, as a true professional, does on their way out from a place that's been so good to him. He took the fall and was pinned by Tanahashi after a frog splash. And that being Cole's last match for Ring of Honor, the Young Bucks come out, sort of a say goodbye, and then the lights go out. Kenny Omega shows up on the big screen, fires Cole, and announces Marty Scurll as the newest member of the Bullet Club. And before Cole could figure out what happened, he got stereo super kicks from the Bucks, and Scurll cracked him over the head with his new Bullet Club umbrella. So Adam Cole, baby, got the double cross. The main event was a three-way for the World Heavyweight Championship, and Christopher Daniels would take the match with a clean pin on Cody Rhodes with the best moonsault ever, while he had Jay Lethal in a figure four. It was a solid match, about as good as a three-way dance can go, and it further solidified Daniels as the World Heavyweight Champion of the world. Going forward with the World Heavyweight Championship of the world, Daniels will defend that at Gateway to Gold on June 4th in Collinsville, Illinois, right across the river from St. Louis, Missouri. They're going to be there. They're going to be there for the next big event they're going to have, which is Gateway to Gold. And he will face the winner of a 9-man gauntlet match that includes Dalton Castle, Matt Taven, Cheeseburger, Jay White, Punishment Martinez, Will Ferreira, Kenny King, Jonathan Gresham, and Vinny. None of those guys have ever been the Ring of Honor World Champion, so it should be an interesting gauntlet match. The winner goes on to take Daniels on at the end of the night. Now, with the TV title, we have a new champion since New York City. War of the Worlds went to Philadelphia after New York City, and Marty Scurll, the new Bullet Club guy, had to take on Kushida, and the lights would go out in this match when it looked like Marty Scurll had a victory. And as it came back on, Adam Cole was on the apron and distracted Scurll in what was an obvious callback to what Scurll was involved with, what happened to Adam Cole in New York City. And that distraction, that opening, was just enough for Kushida to get the upper hand and hit the small package driver for the 1-2-3 to become the new Ring of Honor television champion. The fallout of this should see both Scurll wanting a rematch, as obviously he's going to cry that he was screwed out of the title, and Silas Young, wrestling's last real man, is going to demand a shot, as he recently pinned Kushida on Ring of Honor television in Dearborn, Michigan. So that should be a nice fallout between those three. I know, of course, Scurll has been doing some great things and as the villain, and I really, really like what Silas Young has been bringing to the ring this last year, getting in shape and really putting on some great matches. A tag title update: the Young Bucks will not be on the Gateway to Glory card, but they will be making an appearance the day before with their Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles at Windy City Excellence. So look forward to that. In our last championship update, the six-man tag titles, the Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Champs, the Briscoes and Bully Ray, will all be at action at Gateway to Gold, but not for the titles. They're going to be in separate matches. Bully Ray and Mark Briscoe are going to take on Silas Young and the Beer City Bruiser, and Jay Briscoe will take on Shane Taylor. For more information on that, go out to the Ring of Honor's website, take a look. Gateway to Gold's got a packed lineup. Should be a great event, as will the event the day before. And at the Windy City Excellence in Chicago. So if you're in those areas, go out and see those events, and keep an eye on Ring of Honor television. That's your update. Back to you, Michael.
And thank you again to Steve for providing that update. As you can tell, he's way more skilled at providing updates and things than I am, very much more detailed, and he knows all the names of everybody, you know, the difficult names. Like like Bully Ray. So that's a thing. Anyways, now that that's covered the week in wrestling, there was a lot to go through this week. Again, we had the two pay-per-views, which don't that doesn't normally happen. So that made this week super super heavy on wrestling. The details of the shows and that kind of stuff. Now is when I would love for people to call in and talk to me and that kind of thing, because we're going to move into Parts Unknown.
Now entering Parts Unknown.
And Parts Unknown are exactly what it sounds like. We don't know what's going to happen in this section. I guess this week I kind of do, because I pre-recorded it because I knew I wasn't going to have anybody to talk to. So this week, what I ended up and I did was I did an interview. It was more of just a casual conversation with my friend Chris Anderson, who used to watch wrestling when he was like 12, 13 years old, and he was a big fan of The Ultimate Warrior. So we wanted to talk about The Ultimate Warrior a little bit. But what I should mention is the call-in line. If anybody ever does want to call in, the number is 515-605-9747. And again, that number is 515-605-9747, and that'll put you through to me, and we'll be able to talk a little bit about wrestling and that kind of stuff. But right now, what I want to do is I want to go ahead and jump into this interview / conversation that I had with my friend Chris Anderson.
Hey everybody, I'm Michael Moore, and I am on location with my friend and comedian Chris Anderson and his boy Cameron, who will be chiming in occasionally with grunts and groans. But we're going to talk about The Ultimate Warrior and the little bit of wrestling that Chris used to watch when he was younger. But anyways, Chris, you were saying, what was it, your wrestling experience when
right.
you were younger?
My wrestling knowledge.
Right.
I don't know. I watched till I was probably 12 or 14. And, I remember the big moments, you know, like Hulk Hogan body
right.
slamming Andre the Giant
right.
and the largest arms in the world. He had a good catchphrase. Wasn't he like, and then he got on that reality show. What the fuck? Why does every good wrestler end up trying to get into movies or a reality show?
See, it was, the thing is, though, like back in the day, like those guys did that crap, but, like Hulk Hogan and the Mr. Nanny, and that was the movie, right? And he did. I thought he did another movie too, but like his.
He was in Rocky.
Oh, that's right.
You know,
I mean, that I guess maybe that would have been the biggest
yeah.
thing that he had been in. But like now,
the Giant was in the
Princess Bride, right?
Like, I mean,
but like nowadays, though, like The Rock is the highest paid actor.
Right.
In Hollywood.
He's
and
saying he might run for president.
If he does, I'll vote for him in a second.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
give a
what
shit.
The hell? Why not?
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
And
it can't be any worse than what we got now.
And I don't know if you saw it on Saturday Night Live or not, but like he had Tom Hanks on there with him, and they were saying that they were going to run together.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, yes, immediately yes.
Right.
Can we do that now? That would be awesome.
No.
Yeah, so you didn't watch a whole lot after that, right?
Right, yeah. Like, once the WWF
yeah.
became the WWE...
Yeah, the more entertainment.
They lost me, you know,
right, right.
It wasn't real to me anymore, damn it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Or did it get too real?
Could have been. You know, now they got, like, chicks in there to wrestle shit, too. Like,
I'll tell you what. Some of the girls now, the female wrestlers, are better than the guys.
What did we have back then? Miss Elizabeth.
The Fabulous Moolah. Mae Young. Miss Elizabeth.
That's not what I jacked off to. I mean,
who, Mae Young?
Right. Not Coco Beware.
Oh, that's not a lady, but he did have a beautiful bird.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's just, that's British for lady,
everywhere
right?
Everywhere he goes.
You know, the bird.
Flying the bird. Coco
yes.
Beware. What the hell happened to that guy? He wrestled like two matches and then, holy shit, let's get the fuck out of here.
Fire truck showed up. We set this bitch on fire. We start talking about all these hot ladies, Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young. We set this bitch on fire. But, yeah, I can't think of who else now, back in the day, lady wrestlers. But nowadays, man, like, they're doing some insane shit. They finally did their first cage match.
Mm.
And they're doing, like, Iron Man matches.
They're
Iron Woman matches.
They're even wrestling on the period now. It's just crazy.
Just right through it. They don't give a shit. I bet they had them removed so they don't have to deal with it. But, yeah, man, it's crazy now. But we're here. We want to talk a little bit about the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
This was Chris's favorite wrestler,
yeah,
right, Chris?
Yeah, totally. High energy and, you know.
Yeah, and, like, he had the iconic theme music or entrance music. Like, as soon as it went off, you
right.
knew exactly who was coming to the ring, and you were fucking excited.
There.
Yeah.
From side to side.
Just shaking the ropes
right.
like he lost his damn mind. You know he was on drugs.
Oh,
he had
yeah,
to have been on some
sure.
kind of drugs.
Well, his finishing move, he would, like, press people above his head
right.
or whatever and drop them and then
I mean, that
run
was,
over them. Yeah, I mean,
that was way better than Hulk Hogan's where he just
like,
did a leg drop.
Leg, right, yeah.
And, like, nowadays in matches, they'll do that shit 16 times in a match and people won't give a shit.
Right.
But, yeah.
Wow, your leg.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plus
could you just
face paint.
Quit putting your taint on my throat? That'd be awesome.
Plus, you know, the Ultimate Warrior had the face paint. You don't know who
that,
he is.
Right.
That's scary.
Well, and he was from parts unknown.
That's true. You don't know who he is, where he's from.
Right.
He could be President Obama for all we know.
Let's see a birth certificate.
Right. Sir, can we do that birth certificate, sir?
But this is actually perfect. I didn't even think about it until just a second. The segment where I'm going to be playing this interview, I'm calling Parts Unknown because,
right.
like, that's when I'm going to be taking calls and I'm going to be taking comments and all that kind of stuff, and I don't know what the hell is going to happen. It's all unknown. So
perfect.
It's perfect that the Ultimate Warrior is from Parts Unknown, and we're going to go ahead and do this now. But I did a tiny bit of research, not much, because I'm a fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants kind of guy, and when I say that, I mean I'm lazy.
And procrastinator.
A huge procrastinator. So I watched a YouTube video just before I came, and I took some notes. And I'm gonna link the YouTube video in the description so everybody can check it out because I feel like the guy needs some credit. And because I was rushed, I don't remember who it was, so my apologies. But it listed out like the 10 craziest things that happened with Ultimate Warrior, and I didn't go through all of them because some of them I was like, nah, it wasn't worth talking about. But the very first thing that he listed, number 10. Was the Ultimate Warrior comics. I don't know if you ever saw those.
No, I didn't.
They were just called Warrior, and they were written by Warrior. And it turns out that not long after he had retired, he actually officially legally changed his name to Warrior.
Wow.
Yeah, so he wrote this stuff up as Warrior. But the comics, I've got some of them at home, they're the dumbest shit you've ever seen. They don't make any sense. There's no plot. There's nothing to nothing to hold on to. He like watches people die and just like walks away and just it's really weird stuff.
Right.
And he like
so the storyline is from Parts Unknown as well.
Yeah, yeah. Forever unknown because like it would just drone on and on, and it got to the point where it was like his when he started public speaking. Or even some of his promos when he was a wrestler, like he would just drone on, and you don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Yeah.
You're just like staring at the screen,
right.
like, what the fuck
yeah,
is happening right now? Yeah, like
wasn't
super
he like
crazy
a
shit.
Racist too? Like I think I saw.
Well, we can go ahead and jump to number one. So number one on the list,
it
wasn't racist, but he was homophobic.
Oh.
And what ended up happening was he was at the University of Connecticut, and he was doing one of his talks, You're laughing.
Jump right to number one.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Fuck number 9876. We're going straight to number one in homophobia.
I didn't know.
No, you're fine.
We should have talked about this ahead of time.
Listen, we'll jump into homophobia and then we'll back up after that.
We're lazy procrastinators.
But, yeah, so he was talking at the University of Connecticut, and this was after he officially changed his name and all that jazz. And what he said was, queering doesn't make the world work. Which, I mean, even that, I'm like, you just sound stupid.
Right, that doesn't
like,
make sense.
Doesn't, that's some of that rambling stuff to where, like, he would just start saying things that...
He needs the queer eye for the ultimate warrior guy.
And looking at all the face paint and the arm streamers that he would wear and stuff, you would think that he would have liked dude.
Something tells me they would show him the parts unknown.
Oh, they would. He would have become very familiar with those parts. They would have been parts very well known.
From parts formerly unknown.
Yes. But too well known, and now I can't sleep.
He went from Ultimate Warrior to Warrior. Parts known.
Ultimate Warrior to Hey Warrior. But yeah, so that was the last thing that was number one, where it was just super crazy. But some other things, he had spoken out publicly against the WWE, which obviously you don't want to do because WWE runs the world
in this type
of business, and so that kind of. That really put a squash to things.
The WWE. WWF in my day.
Back in his day, WWF.
World Wildlife Federation. They couldn't even
had to go and ruin them. Everything.
You know what I mean? Like,
they couldn't have been like World Loves Pandas or something.
Should have had Hogan drop a leg on them.
Like, and they would have gotten right back up. Right. Like, yeah, okay. Keep your stinky taint off of me. We appreciate it. We just want to say pandas.
World, nobody even heard of the World Wildlife Federation, you know what I mean?
Right.
They came out of nowhere. Like,
yeah.
They came from parts unknown. Came,
I smell a theme. Yeah, you're right. They came out of nowhere, and they did this lawsuit, and they ended up winning it.
Yeah.
I don't know the specifics. I don't know how they won it, why they won it. And maybe the person just really hated the WWF wrestling organization, and when they were like, nope, we're for the animals.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, that didn't go so well for them. But something in the video that I saw, which I didn't realize was a thing, was apparently in the WCW, they did a...
Woman Crush Wednesday?
Yep, Woman Crush Wednesday. And when we say Woman Crush, that means that when we lay on them, they crushed.
Batista bombed that ass.
Oh God!
I don't even know what that is. But heard of it?
That's good enough. You killed it. That was great.
All right.
But in the WCW, they did this thing where Hulk Hogan kept hyping up this arrival of this character or this wrestler, and it was going to be the biggest surprise. Blah blah blah. And what it ended up being was it was basically a knockoff of the Ultimate Warrior. And he was called the Renegade. And he was basically supposed to be like the crazy version of the Ultimate Warrior. And he had like this big R painted on his face. And he had this weird ring outfit and stuff. And what ended up happening was the real Ultimate Warrior ended up speaking out about it.
Wow.
And was real mad about it. Mm-hmm. And like started putting out all this negative press about it. And so this character just like disappeared. But what ended up happening, which ended up it's sad and kind of crazy all at the same time, is the Renegade decided that he didn't want to live anymore, and he shot himself in the chest with a shotgun.
Jesus Christ.
So I don't mean to laugh, right. But that's kind of crazy. I guess when you set yourself up for failure. Sorry guys, Cameron is playing photographer.
Right.
I don't think mommy's gonna like that. You better put that stuff away.
Come on.
Here, go over to daddy.
Don't make me drop a leg on you.
Yep. He's gonna hit you with a Batista bomb.
Yep.
But so and apparently there was some real life heat with Hogan.
Wasn't Hogan like a bad guy for a while too? Like in WCW?
Yeah, in WCW they did this stupid NWO thing.
Hey!
Where, if you heard that smack, it's because Chris just hit Cameron. But Cameron can take it, so that's why he didn't cry.
He's being a little bitch.
Here, come here.
Come on, come see Papa.
Here we go!
Whee!
Yeah, so they did this whole thing with Hulk Hogan in the WCW where he was kind of this bad version or whatever, and he was, like, dyeing his beard black, and he had the white mustache and stuff, the blonde mustache, and his hair was still, like, escaping off the back of his head. Like, it was all weird, but apparently Ultimate Warrior...
They changed his theme song to I Am a Fake American Fighting for the Taliban.
Oh, shit. Keep going. I'm listening. We're getting this all recorded, all right. So trademark.
I guess when TM. Right.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But,
Taliban, baby.
Yeah. but, yeah, I guess.
It's written by the Taliban. The hottest new group from Afghanistan.
Hottest new group from Afghanistan. It all fits. It works.
The boy band.
But yeah, they had like real life heat, and they heated each other backstage and stuff, and it was kind of crazy. But in the Ultimate Warriors rematch with Hulk Hogan, they did this stupid match in WCW, whereas like there was this big match between the two of them at a WrestleMania, and it was basically two of the biggest stars that you could have just kind of like slapped each other around because they couldn't do anything extraordinary. That wasn't the type of wrestling back then.
Right.
And so, you know, when you can win with a leg drop, what do you expect?
Right.
So it wasn't anything
body
special.
Slam fucking ends a match.
Exactly.
Like,
right. Exactly. So like that was the first match, but then they came back for this rematch in WCW, and Ultimate Warrior was wearing this weird like trench coaty type thing that had like graffiti all over it, and that's when Hulk Hogan was in the NWO and he had the black beard and stuff. But like the match was a mess, and what ended up happening was Hulk Hogan's, I think it was his nephew, came down to the ring and interfered, but there was a botched move, which this is kind of my favorite because it falls into professionally botched wrestling. Hulk Hogan was supposed to shoot a fireball into Ultimate Warrior's face, like a legit fireball, and he fucked it up and ended up burning his own eyebrows off. I'm like, yeah, that sounds right. Good job, Hulk.
Funny.
Yeah.
What's his real name?
Terry.
Good job, Terry.
Yeah. What do you expect from a guy named Terry? I have an uncle named Terry, and
right.
He would do the same stupid shit.
Right.
Yeah, but
Uncle Terry, I keep secrets.
He caught me in the shed.
Dropping the leg on somebody.
He hit me with that Batista bomb.
I was like, get your taint out of my face, Uncle Teddy. Terry.
Teddy, Terry, it doesn't matter. They all sound molesty. But
we're here to talk about the Ultimate Warrior today.
This is the last thing that I had noted. So Ultimate Warrior was fired by the WWE three different times.
Wow.
And I think that's the most that any wrestler has ever been fired. He got chance after chance. But the first time he was fired is because he threatened to, like, no-show SummerSlam in 1991.
Wow.
If he didn't get paid more.
Right.
So, like, Vince McMahon was like, I'm not having that
right,
shit.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. And ended up letting him go then.
Right. A million other people would love to be.
Yeah, no joke, right?
Right now,
especially
know?
Now. Like,
right.
There's no way you could pull that shit.
No.
But the thing is, like, so many wrestlers bounce from company to company because...
Yeah, unless you were, like, you know, the level of, like, The Rock or, like, a John Cena.
Yeah.
You know, like, which I've heard of him, but I've never seen him. But,
John Cena?
Yeah.
You've never seen John
see
Cena?
Anywhere.
I see where we're going here. I was
you missed
at,
it at first
I was
right?
like, this motherfucker is lying to me. And then I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I've seen him in those Fred movies.
Pulling a joke on me, and I'm a fucking idiot. That's why.
Who's the wrestling fan here?
You threw me off because you're not really a wrestling fan. So with you knowing that, I was like, what the hell?
I know John Cena from the Fred Figglehorn movies.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw him in those.
Okay.
He was in the fridge.
Cool.
No camera.
But the second time that Ultimate Warrior was fired is it was after WrestleMania 8. He failed a drug test, and a few months later he was gone. And then he came back for his final time in 1996, WrestleMania 12. He was fired again for no shows. He just doesn't like like to show up to shit. I mean,
didn't
he's not showing up to anything now, but
yeah, right. It's showing down.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, he
rest in parts unknown.
It's true though. We don't know.
Rip you.
The last thing then is. It was just bizarro that he came back to the WWE and he had this thing where he got inducted into the Hall of Fame and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, the next night, or not the next night, because that happens on a Saturday, so then Monday Night Raw, right after WrestleMania, he makes this big speech and he talks about taking your last breath and all this and that, and then the next day he was dead.
Wow.
It was super nuts, but, like, just... He was a real character, just up and down, huge with the company, WWE, had a huge fan base, kind of went buck nut fucking crazy, and then in and out of the company, and then deciding to do that weird speech stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he had to be on something, though, like the level of energy that he had, you know, in the matches.
Yeah.
Like running down to the ring.
No joke.
Full steam.
No. And, like, they didn't have 5-hour energies
right, yeah,
and monsters
exactly.
back then. It was just like cocaine and heroin.
Right, pretty much.
So he was probably back behind the curtain, just taking a bump, and then just like, now's the time.
There we go.
Yeah, just running out there and shaking the ropes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was crazy. Like there, with his matches, it was just more of a spectacle that way than it was actual wrestling technique and stuff all that jazz. But. We'll have to get you back into watching it, Chris.
Yeah. I mean, there's chicks now.
and they're smoking hot. Really good-looking ladies. And there are some good-looking dudes, too, Chris.
They're not like Black China. She's not a wrestler.
Black China, no. There is...
there was a China, though, right? But
China. Yeah, she's passed away, too, R.I.P.
Rest in parts unknown.
She's chilling with Ultimate Warrior somewhere.
Doing fine.
but yeah, there's Nia Jax, who's a big lady wrestler, and Tamina Snuka, which is Jimmy Snuka's daughter. He just passed away too.
Really?
R.I.P. Jimmy Snuka.
Rest in parts unknown.
Yep. R.I.P. you. R.I.P. but you got anything else, Chris?
I read that the Ultimate Warrior, before he became a wrestler, was actually a social worker that worked with underprivileged youth.
Are you joking with me again?
Yes. they did this in parts unknown. I'm going to beat that horse until it's dead, and then beat it again.
I think we're there. Yeah. I think we're almost there. But, yeah.
Move for hours.
dead, straight up dead. But
horse, too.
Not just him. But, yeah, Chris, well, I appreciate you being on.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. And, Cameron, I appreciate you being on.
Hell, yeah.
He's on the floor
sound
with his
effect.
Truck now. So.
He's the sound guy.
Yeah, he's the Foley artist for the episode. But yeah, that's going to be it for us. So back to you, Michael.
Thanks again to Chris for throwing in his 2 cents on the Ultimate Warrior and making me relive the thought of Mae Young and the Fabulous Moolah. But anyways, that's going to be just about it for Parts Unknown. And honestly, we're going to be wrapping this sucker up. So let's go ahead and let's move right into the finish. And that's going to be it for Professionally Botched Wrestling this episode, this week. Something that I thought would be cool to do later on when we have a little bit more time is to maybe watch an episode of something from the WWE Network, from the vault, or from the original stuff, and then the following week talk about it. So this week, I'm going to watch the season one first episode of Camp WWE, No Place Like Camp. And we're going to talk about that next week because apparently I don't hate myself enough. So I'm going to watch that and never seen it, just judging it by the previews, and I feel like that's enough. You can follow me on Instagram at Michael Moore Comedy. You can follow the show at Botched Wrestling. You can follow the show on Twitter at Botched Wrestling, no G on the end because that was too many letters. You can send any questions, concerns, comments, any of that kind of stuff into botchedwrestling@gmail.com. And all the sources for the episode can be found in the description. The Ultimate Warrior video, you can find that, the YouTube clip or a link, and the rumor link for Cage Side Seats is hiding there in the description too, so make sure to check that out. And one more time, I'd like to thank my guest, Chris Anderson, for doing that little bit of an interview with me, and Mr. Steve Gaines for updating us on New Japan Wrestling and Ring of Honor. Again, my name is Michael Moore. I'm going to be your host from week to week on this shit show that I call Professionally Botched Wrestling, or PBO. Nope, PBW. That's how spelling works, as an acronym. And with that being said, I will see your ass next week.